You may be seated. Had a chance this morning, I was interested with Bob Porcelli's prophecy. That's what we preached on this morning, going across Jordan. That was right on target, Bob, right on target. Going across Jordan. And but I think this morning we'll turn now to Matthew chapter 13. And we'll read together in the King James verses 1 through 9. Matthew 13, starting with verse 1. And here we go. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so we'll be going down in the explanation. I'll read this now, starting in verse 10, and I'm going into the New American Standard. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. We need to pay attention to this verse, saints, because I believe one of the things the Lord is speaking to us about this morning is diligence in what we have. I've had an opportunity this last week. We began my part of the School of Ministry, and I have the opportunity of seeing in contrast. How many know that when you see things in contrast, it helps? You wonder sometimes if a cloth is blue or black. But if you hold it up against something that is truly black, you can tell, can't you, by contrast. And so I have this opportunity to see these. There's over 500 students now, closing to 550, some coming now from the British Isles and Scandinavia, which I'm glad to see. And where do you folks come from, by the way?
Michigan.
And we find that many of the people from America, this has been my impression, even exceed the foreign students that are foreign to us from other countries in some cases, because in some instances the Americans have actually sold their houses and have sold all and have come. And to them it represents a great change. In fact, I was talking to some folks from New York, and the woman was weeping because she said that not only have they sold their home and everything, but as they've come, the Lord has laid a call on their heart to a certain country, and they feel they're going to be persecuted. In fact, I've had a distinct impression from the Lord that all those students are heading into persecution and some into martyrdom. I had that a couple of Friday nights ago as we were all meeting together, and I said, yes. She said, I feel we're going to be persecuted, and I have a small child. We may be tortured, and I said, yes, I wouldn't doubt it. And so she wanted some, how do you cope with this sort of thing? And so that whereas the students from Africa and the other places, in some cases, they're coming to a great, you know, not only are they coming for the gospel, but they're getting to live in a motel and go on a trip. And so you're kind of combining a religious motive with a secular motive. It's kind of like going to a full gospel businessmen convention when they're going to serve steak and lobster. You know, it gives you kind of a, you know, if you were going to go and eat lentils, cold lentils, you know, it'd have a different motive for attending. And so we have sometimes, we play these kinds of games, and but the Americans in many cases are more sincere because they have motels and private bathrooms back where they live too. So when they sell their home and come, they're not coming to, you know, to see America. They're coming because God is moving on them. Many of them have made great sacrifices. And so it has given me a wonderful opportunity to have a much broader scope by which I can compare what we're doing, what the Lord is doing in other places. And I believe this is true, that we who are rich and therefore have a terrible time entering into the kingdom, we do have an awful time. And I think in the future that the Lord is going to heat up our situation so to help us, because as we are now, I can see it's going to be impossible for us to function. You know, our material gain is kind of like heavy grease on a coal motor. The Lord will heat up the situation and we actually will be able to function. Otherwise, our testimony will outrun our experience and then we'll just be found in death. And so I believe it is virtually impossible for us to do what God wants us to do as individuals. Not impossible. Jesus didn't say it was impossible. He said it was very difficult. And it is. And until the Lord does something to our nation, I don't believe it will be possible, because we're fighting, the odds are too great. But for those who can somehow break through the coal grease and function even in our society, God will give you more. But if we don't use what we have, even that which we have shall be taken from us and given to those who have abundance. Remember that. This is a word to us this morning. I feel in the spirit that some of us are being weighed. I had a distinct impression last Sunday that some of us are being weighed. And the Lord didn't show me who, but I just had the feeling. Did anyone else have that feeling? A distinct impression that we are some. We our congregation is being weighed. And so I just put that out for you to work with the Lord. And remember the kingdom principle, that if we don't bring forth fruit, then it's taken from us and given to those who will. And that's a kingdom principle that we have to deal with. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In other words, Jesus didn't speak in parables to illustrate what he was saying. He spoke in parables to hide it. In other words, the things of God are hidden. And you can't give them to people. They have to, I say, earn them. We only find when we seek. And there's no way that you can con it. You cannot con it in any way. To each one of us will be given in proportion to the zeal which we put forth. And in the meantime, those things are hidden. And the Lord deliberately speaks to us in parables so that we cannot understand until we make that, until we buy it, as it were. That's why it's so hard for the rich, because they cannot buy it. Remember when Jesus came with such a radical statement to the rich young ruler, and he said, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Now, Jesus might say that to you today. That wasn't for that poor guy, you know, 2,000 years ago. He's still the same. He doesn't change. He doesn't say it to everybody. He didn't say to everybody that he preached to. He sell all to you. How about he might sell it to you? She might say it to you. And if he did, what would your answer be? He didn't say give it to the church. He said give it to the poor. Now that was as hard for that young man as it would be for you. And he said no. Jesus said, something, you lack something. And he said, just tell me. Because he was used to having abundance. He had inherited abundance, without a doubt. That's the way it went in those days. With them get-rich-quick schemes, you inherited it. And Jesus said, take everything that you've been used to. The servants, the ease, the wealth, and give it. Sell it. And give to the poor. How hardly are they that have riches enter the kingdom. See what I mean by cold grease? We couldn't do that because we'd say, God, that isn't you. Give me another vein to my prophesying. Lead me down another trail. But don't make those kinds of demands because I can't cope with that. I don't mind playing little spiritual games in the church, but you're not going to find me selling everything that I have and giving it to the poor, because I don't play those kinds of games. But Jesus isn't dead earnest. He never says anything to be funny. You see how far we are from the kingdom? There are no substitutes. There is no charismatic or religious substitute for reality. You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. That, by the way, was the prophecy of Isaiah to whom? The Nineveh, people of Nineveh, right? Tyre and Sidon? Arabia? To whom was it addressed? Yeah. God's called and chosen people. For the heart of this people has become dull. And in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see. Now, you remember, he was speaking to people who purchased this sight by giving up all their business. Church history has it that James and John were wealthy. Their father had a prosperous fishing business. And when they walked away from that, it would be just like you walking away from your job. No different, no less of a pull. The same thing. And so they had purchased sight. This has always been here, but the church in America in many cases cannot see it because these things are hidden. You can't see it until you buy it with conduct. And now, so in the verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, you see, what we're concerned about is the word of the kingdom. Sometimes I wonder if salvation and the kingdom are the same thing, because the applicable verses are so different. I guess we get saved by grace, but he didn't say how hard it is for a rich man to get saved. He said how hard it is for him to enter the kingdom. So maybe we get saved in order that we can have a chance to enter the kingdom. I'm not sure, and I'm not trying to make a big fantastic doctrine that I hope you won't run out of here and say Brother Thompson said. He come out with something new, just as sure as God made little green apples if he didn't do it this morning. The kingdom and being saved are two different things. That's not my point. I'm saying that grace has been emphasized so much in our nation that we cannot grasp the parables of the kingdom because we reinterpret them to mean, yes, but. That applies to someone else somewhere up there, down here, but not me. Is that right? Praise the Lord! You're a good-looking group out there. The smile flatter you a little. It's pretty heavy. All right, but you really are. And the praise is great. You don't hear it in other places. Now, And he does not understand it. Now, why did he not understand it? Because it was sown in a place where the ground was hard, because it was a road or a path. Now, you can sow seed on a path, but it will not germinate. Why? It just lays on the surface. And I have found, and I found this preaching, I hope you don't mind my referring to the students, probably this next 2 months, if God grants me the continued opportunity, you'll hear much. And I hope that the way you will take it is, not there he goes again. Because this, to me, is so meaningful that I can hardly contain my emotions. I can scarcely contain my emotions. I stand before you now. I can scarcely contain my emotions. To have people come up and beg to go to church and beg for a textbook. People, one sweet little fellow from the Cameroon. How many know that there's nothing quite as sweet as an African male? I don't know why God has given those men such a sweetness to their personality. A man from Cameroon, and he says, "We have no literature." And I thought, my God, don't let their blood be on my hands. We want to come to church. I kept it very low key if someone would like to come. Immediately they turn in a list of 80 names. "What time will you be here Sunday?" I said, "I don't think anyone will be here Sunday. I haven't heard from those in charge." It's hard to cope with that emotionally. Because these people are leaders and pastors and teachers. And they are going to be representing many, many people worldwide. So you may hear much from me, because when I am ministering, God opens my spiritual vision and I can see the throng standing before the Lamb, gathered out of every nation and tongue and village and tribe, saying Hosanna. And I can see them, and I know those students are going to go back, and they're going to do that, and it's going to cost them their lives. And they have no books. And there are many good reasons, and none of them are worth a dish of dried beans. The only thing that matters is they have no books, no textbook, because I am not allowed to sell them there. And it does not matter why I am not allowed to sell them there. It only matters that they will have to get to this church to buy them, those who have money, many of whom do not. And that's a problem. And if you want to keep me from breaking down and weeping, don't say why it's impossible. Tell that to your friends. I want to hear how it's possible. I don't want to hear who's fault it is. Not one time. Just somebody with an idea. Now, the reason that they can understand readily as I talk to them about the difference between the new gospel, which has become a scheme for self-realization, the prosperity and positive preaching are schemes for self-realization. These belong with the Eastern religion. So I spoke to them. We are being flooded with delusion. The Eastern religion, get Christ and it will make you successful. And I said, now the real gospel is where you become the slave. I spoke this morning about Jordan, meaning death to self, and becoming the slave of Jesus Christ. It's the opposite. And I said, Antichrist is already here. Now, why can they understand that? Because their ground has not been trampled. You see, when you've heard and heard and heard, then when you hear something different, the ground is so hard, you can't understand it. But the new Christians, they can understand very, very readily. But once people have been preached on, God is love, and the rapture, and prosper, and all these other things, it's hard ground. And so when you preach the other, it has to be filtered through all of this perceptual processes that come when you've heard a lot of other things. And so Satan wastes no time. It says the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. So the Lord says, whatever you hear, be very careful and weigh it. If you say, oh, I've heard that before. He says, Thompson says, there's a great urgency and we better get ready and we better get prepared to hear the Lord say, sell what you have and follow me and all that. Yeah, I know, I've been hearing that for 30 years. You know what that is? Hard ground. Can't grasp it. That's problem number one. When you're in a land where there's been a great deal of gospel preaching, it makes it very difficult when the Lord changes, because the ground has been trampled upon so much. Okay. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Praise God for a joyful gospel. Well, it sounds good. You know, once I was lost, now I'm found. Jesus did it all for me and I'm on my way to go to heaven. That's got to be good news. Praise the Lord. Yet, he has no firm root in himself. Why? Because what has been preached to him? If you accept Christ, you get this, you get the next thing, you'll have peace and joy, you'll never be sick again, your kids will have this and everything. It's wonderful. That doesn't create roots. And you go to a church where it's all practically done. I don't think that's necessarily true here, but in many cases, all you've got to do is come in, listen to a few things, explanations, a paid choir, a wonderful paid soloist, and it's great. Someone said to me, it's like a great big pillow. No demands are made on you. You just come in and sit back, and it's wonderful. See? Tell me more. I got all this in heaven too. Now God's going to help me to be more successful on my job. I got all this in heaven too, and abomination of abominations, a ringside seat while the Jews go through the tribulation. I said over the radio, it'll come out in a few weeks, that when I hear anybody say that we are going to have a ringside seat when people are going to suffer, I take personal umbrage. And there is no rational reason in algebra or any other form of logic why I should take personal umbrage, is there? But somehow the gracelessness of telling God's people who are already deluded with riches that on top of this they're going to have an air-conditioned seat to watch Antichrist and the unfortunate Jews and the rest of the world slaughtered and sit in air-conditioned comfort and eat popcorn, somehow the total, I'm at a loss for words. I just take personal umbrage at being a part of any such thing. No, we're not going to have a ringside seat while other people suffer. God is training us and teaching us so that we will be a help to them in that day. Praise the Lord. Now watch this. In verse 21, he has no root. Why has he no root? Because he sprang up like a dandelion. But it's only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately
he falls away.
Now, we have a lot of people in our nation who speak in tongues. That's the group I know. That's the group that is familiar to me. Who, if you preach, as I said to the students at the school, I felt that a couple of Friday nights ago while I was there, and I believe Ed Cole was preaching, someone. Anyway, Morcerella was there and some others, and all of a sudden, my vision expanded, and I saw blood. And I was praying about it, going home, prophesying, praying, and it came to me that all of those students would suffer persecution, and some would be martyred. So, a couple of days ago, I mentioned to them, I said, I tell you in the name of the Lord, that some of you are, that you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. Then this woman from New York told me afterwards the Lord had kept her up all the night before and had warned her about trouble to come to where she's being called. She got that before I said anything. That's a confirmation. See, these students are not playing games. I know that you're not playing games. The point is, if you have root in your soul, you'll stand. But if you've been sold circus candy, you won't make it. Because you'll say, I'm not putting up with this. I don't mind being a Christian, but it costs me my creature comforts and my home and my family. I'm not going to do it. I will do it as long as it's reasonably convenient, but I do not intend to suffer. Okay? That kind will bring forth no fruit whatsoever. Because part of the Christian life is affliction and persecution. And when you take it out, you've got to have no gospel. You have self-realization. So if this kind of preaching scares you, then you want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, put my roots down. I don't think I can stand when the blood starts. And if you have any doubt but what this may be true, let me urge you, as a friend, don't waste time like today or tomorrow. But get your roots down and say, yes, Lord. Talk yourself into it. Yes, I will stand if everyone is taken from me. I will stand no matter what. And even if your knees are knocking so loud they can hear you next door. Say it. Pretty soon you'll talk yourself into it. But if you keep telling people how you don't feel that you can, guess what? That's right. You know, there's a little positive thinking for us. All right. Now here's one that is germane to our situation in America, and certainly I'm not coming down on Christian Life Fellowship. This is just something that one sees. As I said, when you have an opportunity, and I hope it will work out that all of you can have an opportunity. I feel it's very interesting to note that the one scheduled to preach for the graduation is Kenneth Copeland. And you might want to come and hear Kenneth Copeland. I find these things interesting. God's tremendous wisdom. But as I have this opportunity, I hope you will too, whatever sessions are open to the public, to have a chance, and if some of the students come here, and they will as fast as they can get wheels under their feet, they can't walk here, you will see the contrast. And then, you know, it just enables you to see where we are and where the world is, and it helps us not to become, you know, like a little home prayer group where we're all talking to each other, spiritual things. Amen? Oh me, my, you can get into that real easy. I've been there. The one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world Now, you might think, well, boy, that's no sin. We all worry, certainly in America, we're worried lest anything disturb our tranquility, certainly. But notice what Jesus says, the worry of the world. Do you know that worry will keep you out of the kingdom? You know, the more stuff you have, the more worried you become. Did you ever see a person who was really wealthy who was happy? They're so mean. I'm telling you, if you want to get the Indian to ride the buffalo, it's when a well-to-do person puts a nickel in the offering. The poor are liberal. I'll give you the shirt off their back. But rich people are bound. Even though we see the opportunities that we have, we're like this. Now, I know some of you in here are far from rich. You're having trouble buying milk. So I'm not talking to everybody, maybe to nobody. I'm just talking to people in tape land. I'm standing in tape land. I'm standing with my hands at my side, and I'm saying that we are bound. We would love to move. But see, when you fight that hard to save a nickel, you got to move, and it's hard. Harvey, you can't move. I'd love to move, but boy, I fought so hard to get this, and it gets to you. It gets a hold of you. You don't own your bank account. It owns you. Puts the hooks in you. And then you think, boy, what if presidential order number one went through and I lost my savings? Dear God, worry. I better hedge my bets here. Now, you take somebody who's living from hand to mouth, doesn't have a nickel in the bank, is making the rent, he pays the rent, he takes the wife out, he buys a doll for the little girl and a truck for the little boy, and he's as happy as a clam at high tide. Because he has nothing. Presidential order, you know, he's renting. So let the landlord mow the, you know. The toilet breaks, what's the difference? Call up the landlord. Hey, the toilet isn't working. But the man that owns the house and the bathroom and the toilet, let's see. Last time the plumber came on, $20 just become. There goes the victory right there. And the guy that ought to know the toilet, he's as happy as if he had good sense. Really? If you have no garage, you don't have to worry about it getting cluttered. If you got an old car and somebody scratches it, and the headlining's hanging down, what's the difference? You got a brand new Cadillac, or whatever you call them, and, you know, somebody scratches it. Well, you won't sleep for 2 or 3 nights. Or if you scratch somebody else's Cadillac, and they can take you for a couple of $100,000 in your house, you think, boy, if he sues. But the guy that's got nothing, let him sue. Let him sue. What do you want, my shoes? You have one suit, brother says, you don't worry about which one to wear at church. Worry. Now, the Bible has told us that so plainly, you can't make it into the kingdom. You're all loaded down. We say, yes, but. Yes, but worry and the deceitfulness. Now, the deceitfulness of riches. I don't see anything deceitful about riches unless it's counterfeit. Somebody pays you, the check is good or the money is good, or $100 bill, or there's nothing deceitful about that. Yes, there is something deceitful about it, because you think that you're getting happy, and what you're getting is chain. It's like cigarettes. The kids want to be cool, lacking somewhat in the vertebrae here, They care that much about what other people think, and not that much about what the Lord thinks or the doctors think, so they begin to smoke. What they don't realize is smoking is deceitful. It's addictive. And when you get ready to quit, some people can, but some can't. You know? I've got to have a buck. Got to have a buck. Yeah, but, you know, already you've got a sample in for a biopsy. I know what I've got to have a cigarette. See, they don't think of that when they started to look cool in front of their girlfriend. They didn't think about that. And then they were 40 years old, and they had a little lump, and it kept getting larger. The throat got worse. And finally the doctor said, I must have a biopsy. And he says, you better stop smoking it. We don't know what we've got here, or you've got gastric ulcer, or high blood pressure, or emphysema, or something else, or bad heart. I've got to have a butt. I've got to have a butt. You see, it's deceitful. It's deceitful. You're not the ruler of it. That little bit of white paper rules you. Praise the Lord. Might kill you. All right, now. Two things that I'm concerned about concerning the school of ministry. One thing, as I said, is about these textbooks. And another thing is about the transportation. And I would like for the group here to think largely. Now, I'm just going to throw this out broadcast. I prayed about it. I'm asking God to keep me and not to be involved, just to present the word to the people and let the Lord do the rest. Now, I don't plead for money. Don't do that. It's not my style. I like to have people do what they do. And I think some of us in our church here, Christian Life Fellowship, ought to ask the Lord for a ministry of giving. Now, everybody can't do that. I'm not talking about everybody give another nickel. That's a waste of time. We'll never get there. The church is pretty well broke as it is. The last budget we had was $25, I believe, for the whole church. The whole budget at the end, everything. The general fund was $25, which is not bad for a church this size. Ought to be probably $3,000 to be comfortable. But we're not $25 in the hole. So there's no use waiting for the church to do it. The church can't do it. Period. Okay? So I would suggest to someone to pray to the Lord for a ministry of giving. Now, how does this work? Well, with some, like Laterno and others who have had this kind of a ministry, now this is going to jar you, so get ready. They give 60 or 70% of their money and live on 10 or 20%. You can't talk about tithes and meet the need. There's no way. We need about 525 copies of the Land of Promise. I should give them to the students. Someone should just pay for that. It'd be around $2,000, a little less than that. Just write out a check and pay for it. Just like that. There's people in here. Probably could do that. If you can't, you can't. But that's the kind that we need. Otherwise, these 3 months are going to go by, and we're going to be telling ourselves why we had every right in the world not to do that. I don't want a bunch of little offerings. We need someone to write a check, and we can get them wholesale because I'm the author, and if someone will do that and wants me to, I get 6% royalty on those books, and I'll be glad to put what I receive in royalty into the church so that no one can say Brother Thompson is trying to sell his books. The students need a textbook. Someone needs to write a check, or two people, for the total amount. You can get the total amount from K. It keeps increasing in enrollment. We're up over 500, almost 550. I can find out the exact number. It'd be times 60% of 495 plus 6% sales tax. You can figure it out. 60% of 495, whatever it is, times 500, it'd come out somewhere around $1,600, $1,700. So I want you to just write a check for that. I want you, not now, I want you to ask the Lord about that. Don't expect anyone else to do it or to be justified. It's between you and Jesus. There's nothing, I don't even want to see it. It'll go through the church and back out to Trumpet Ministries, to the publisher of the book, and the students will have a textbook, and I don't want Sonny to do it. Sonny's liable to do it. He did the last one. I don't want him to do it. In some case, Sonny was criticized for what he did. I would like somebody who criticized Sonny to do it. No use getting Sonny to get all the blessing. That isn't right. Another thing that we need is transportation. It would do my heart good if you can't say that the church is not going to be able to do it. I can't do it. It would be good for someone just on their own to go rent a bus. Rent a bus. There's no doubt people in our congregation who could rent a bus. But the top of that might be $1,000. Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. What are you saving it for? What are you going to do with it? Just what are you going to do with it? I'm not going to pursue this any further because I don't want it to get personal. I don't know who God will talk to, and I don't know your bank book. You know whether you're right up to your ears in debt and are barely making it, or whether you have the money. What I'm telling you is that God has put before us an opportunity to minister all over the world. And if we drop it and play little games about doctrine, it will really be out of proportion to the realities of the situation, and we will be found to be a little charismatic dollhouse which is playing Ring Around the Rosie while 4.5 billion people die without the knowledge of God. That's just where it is. The students, Morris got them here, the Lord required of me to drop my light and write. Drop everything. Drop secular reading. I have obeyed the Lord. I have written constantly, giving no sleep to my eyes nor slumber to my eyelids for 12 years. 12 years. The words, I told the students, I said, I know I can only brush your understanding with these things, but it is all in writing. Everything that God has revealed. I think, until God shows me differently, that I have done my part. That was what God required of me. In many cases where you were pursuing your own life, I was punching a typewriter because that's what God commanded me to do. And the back table speaks for itself. Books do not write themselves. And so I've said with a breaking heart, listening to these people, say, is there any literature? Say, God, I hope there's no blood on my hands. I have done all that I have the strength to do. The deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. What does the Word of God bring forth? The word, this is not a figure of speech. Being born again is not a figure of speech. There is something born in us. What is born in us is divine in substance. It comes from God. It is a living, viable seed. It will bring forth in the image of God, in the moral image of God. It will bring forth a new creature. A true Christian is part natural and part supernatural. Now, if that seed grows, what will happen is your first personality will be eclipsed and finally become weakened and be transformed. And another person who of supernatural parentage will be born. It'll be born. We have in us the divine nature by which we escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. If that brings forth Christ, then God Himself will come and dwell. See, God will not dwell in flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. God will only dwell where? In Jesus Christ. No place else. And so in order for us to become the temple of God through the Holy Spirit, some measure of Christ must be brought forth eternally. Not just started, but must come to full term and be delivered and be come into the spiritual realm, vigorous and ready to be filled with God. We can reap Christ 30 and receive 30% of the dwelling of God, or 60, or 100. Now, whether we reap 30, or 60, or 100, depends entirely on how willing we are to be pruned. Nothing else. Just how willing we are to be pruned. That's what determines the level of fruit bearing. Now, on the one hand, we have the American way of life, which, if I'm correct, is soon to be altered somewhat. Money. It's a heavy god, mammon is. It's a heavy. It's so heavy, I don't know of any other god of the several gods of man that Jesus said you can't serve it and God. He didn't say you can't serve lust and God. He didn't say how hard it is for those who are boozers to enter the kingdom. He didn't say how hard it is for those with a bad temper. Or he didn't say no man can serve gambling and serve the Lord. He didn't say that. He just singled out one thing because it's so tremendously important. He didn't say how hard is it for those who bear false witness to enter the kingdom. There's one thing that has marked the betrayal of God from the time of Balaam through Gehazi and through Judas and through Ananias and Sapphira, there's been one betrayal of God, and it's money. No man can serve God and money. How hardly
shall they who have riches enter the kingdom. The Bible counts it as a heavy, deceitful problem. And Paul says the love of it is the root of all evil. And so in your life and mine today, we have in this balance the American way of life, which fundamentally is a way of material gain. If you don't believe it, turn on the television. On the scale over here, we have the birth of divinity within the human being. These are two separate values. The attempt to make both possible is doomed to failure. Saints, where is the value? Say, Brother Thompson, it's so hard, I can't even picture myself making that kind of a move. That's what I said at the beginning. We can't do it. We don't have the cigarettes. They have us. You don't have your thousands. They have you. And you can see a man come in a white robe, nice looking black man, and say, I am from Cameroon. We have no literature. I have a folder like that of letters from students in Africa now at every turn. Please send us some literature. And you can say, I'd love to. $1,000. But do you know that you wouldn't think twice about spending $1,000, some, if it interfered drastically with something that you wanted? You would spend it for your car. But you wouldn't spend it on this man from Cameroon for something to read and to take back to Cameroon. Now I ask you, do we have it or does it have us? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I have delivered to these dear saints the very best, Lord, that you have given to me. All that I know and all that I have, Lord, in you. You said freely you have received, freely give. And Lord, I know it's difficult because we are larded. We are bound. And I pray, dear Savior, that there will be some in our congregation, some that may actually have a New Testament gift of giving. And they will see to it that we have transportation for these precious ones who have come from so many directions. And they will see to it that this class does not return without books. And Jesus, I have told them that I believe that they are being weighed, we all are being weighed in the balances. And I've said that, Lord, because I believe I see you doing that, not to frighten them, but because I believe honestly that that is what you are doing, what you have shown me that you're doing. And Lord, they will have to, and we all will have to just look to you, dear Savior, to find out whether or not that is true, and if so, what can we do to assure our soul's victory before the Lord? And so, Jesus, you're the man with the nails in your hand, and you are the one before whom the people will come from Ghana, Cameroon, Turkestan, Bolivia, and they will wave palms before you, Lord. And whether we have a part in that or not, or whether we go to our grave and leave our money in the bank, and so on and on, until it becomes worthless in the days ahead, and appear before you empty-handed, as God, only you and the individual can make that kind of eternal choice. Praise God. Why don't you right now, while we're in this wonderful solemn time in the presence of God, you resolve in your heart. Don't wait till you're outside. Now, you resolve. You just tell the Lord, make a promise, make a vow to Him. You tell Him what you're going to do with your money. I know some here, this doesn't even apply to you. Man, if you come up, I'll give you $5 so you'll have enough to eat. There's some that it may apply to, and it's for those and to those that I am speaking. Not everyone has the gift of giving. And if you think you might, why don't you right now, in the presence of God, say, Lord, yes. Yes, I'll put $5,000 toward these students. I'll see that they get transportation to church. I'll see that they get a copy of the Land of Promise and of the Feast of the Lord, so they will not return empty-handed. Because I know, Lord, I wouldn't think very, very long and hard about paying $5,000 for a car. That's... make it. Tell God that, and don't change it. Say, Lord, if you'll give me a gift of giving, I'll give 60% of my money, and I'll live on the other 40%. If you bless me further, I'll live on 30%, until I'm living on 10% as other men with this ministry have done. Make that covenant with the Lord. Because, saints, we have until the beginning of March, and this chance may be gone forever. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 there's just something about standing. Shall we all stand? Praise the Lord. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give glory unto thy name, O Lord. Thou art worthy, Lord. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated in the Lord's peace. The ushers bring in the children. We prepare ourselves for the communion. Praise God. Search our hearts. Make sure we have naught against a soul. We are open to Jesus. Should He speak to us strange and wonderful things, radical things, life-changing things, Amen. God bless you, Bob. Life-changing things. Yes, he may, saints. Avarakahasilia, Jesus, Lord. We do accept, Lord, your ways, Lord. We say yes. You say sell all, we say yes. You say sell all and give to the poor, we say yes, yes, yes. Oh, Jesus, give us a heart to say yes. Oh, give us a heart, dear Savior, to say yes. Oh, God, break the yoke in our hearts and lives. Yes, Lord. We want to be lovers of Jesus. We want to be among those, Lord, who love you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Do you not realize that I have given you two great commandments? Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy substance. But do not forget the latter. Love thy brother as thyself. If you were starving and needed food, would you not ask? Then supply the needs of thy brother this day. I command you. Thus saith the Lord your God.
If the Lord should speak to any of you, and you feel that little nudge of the Spirit, and you know that it's you, and you just talk to Bob Porcelli or to Kay Miller, just tell them, say, the Lord spoke to me, and I want those students to have books, or if it's about transportation, talk to Paul Dillinger. Lord, you do it, Lord. You do it, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want cheerful givers, Lord. Cheerful givers. People, Lord, that they know that you have spoken to them. They're not under any coercion. They know, Jesus, that what they're doing is in you and has to do only with you. And they care nothing for the approval of men, but only between you and them, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Let it be, Jesus. Yes, Lord. 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 Hallelujah.
Hopefully some of the students will be here tonight. If I haven't spoken to Paul, I don't know what arrangements have been made, so you can see for yourself why I get unstable emotionally. Can't keep my act together all that great. You'll have to see them for yourself. Praise the Lord. All right, Paul, are we ready now for that?
Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus
forget now tonight, distinguished evangelist from New Jersey will be ministering in the regular evening service. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Harvey now to conclude in prayer.
Yes. Lord, you know what these are. Lord, you know how to apply them. Lord, we ask you to bless you. There today, Lord.
Yes.
Lord,
Amen.
God bless everyone.